Our season of Easter, we are basking in the glow of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And today, as we heard in the prelude and we'll sing in our opening hymn, this results in joy, pure joy, the gift of joy from God above. And today, God teaches us that there is joy not only in the resurrection, but there is joy as we pray. And we pray that God would richly bless us with that joy that truly comes from Him. A couple of words on our worship service, our opening hymn, number 803, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Please stand on the last verse. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting one, page 151 and following. We have a worship insert for today. The readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. This is Rogate Sunday, sixth Sunday of Easter. Rogate means to pray or to ask. To ask God is to pray. To pray to God is to ask. And today, we pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His word and receive His gifts. Two options for the hymn of praise during this Easter season. We've been singing, This is the Feast. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of each new day. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house, to hear Your word, to receive Your holy and precious gifts. Heavenly Father, today, humbly, we beg You, teach us how to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hymn 803.
Service, setting number one, page 151 in the front part of your hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us
most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Seated.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday in Easter is from Numbers, chapter 21. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from James, chapter 1. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. According to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. And now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Sing now our hymn of the day, Eternal Spirit of the Living Christ, hymn 769. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel lesson that we heard just a moment ago from John chapter 16, Jesus' words on Maundy Thursday as he speaks in the upper room, the upper room discourse, especially these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Dear friends in Christ, what do you want? What do you want? Not a hard question, not a trick question. What do you want? We know that to ask is to pray, and to pray is to ask. Jesus says right here, ask, whatever you ask in Jesus' name, whatever you ask in his name, he'll give it to you. So, what do you want? Isn't that how prayer works? Some of you remember the cartoon strip, Peanuts. Charlie Brown's little sister, Sally, she's very confused spiritually and religiously. She's the great pumpkin girl. All right. One comic strip, Sally decides to pray. So she goes outside and she looks up into the air. Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. And then she grunts and groans and says, I want a pony. And she turns around, and there's no pony. And the last little cartoon box, her fist is up into the air, stupid star. Isn't that kind of how we act when it comes to prayer? We pray for what we want, and then if we don't get what we want, we're upset. God doesn't care. God has no power. God doesn't know me. Or we pray and we get what we want. And so we think we have the magic formula. We know exactly what buttons to push to make God do what we want. It's really quite a battleground, isn't it? Does prayer work or does prayer not work? In my lifetime, I have seen this battleground played out again and again and again in the media and especially on TV. In the 50s and 60s, Norman Vincent Peale became extremely popular and wealthy with the power of positive thinking. In the 70s and in the 80s, you had Robert Schuller, possibility thinking, name it and claim it. In the 80s and 90s, you had Chuck Swindoll, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. For the last 20 years, we've had Joel Osteen. And probably the most religious, spiritual person in America who more people claim as their pastor than anybody else, even though she has no pulpit, Oprah. who is constantly teaching people how to pray so they can get the desires of their heart. Recently on Stephen Colbert, she said, "My favorite Bible passage is Psalm 37, 4 and 5, probably the very verses that Jesus had in mind as he spoke this upper room discourse. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Everything becomes a program. A program to get God to do what you want, to give you what you want. God becomes a heavenly vending machine, and you have to have the right coins and punch the right button. Does prayer work? Well, if you ask these celebrities, of course prayer works. If you have the right formula, if you have a positive attitude, then, and only then, can you get what you want from God and have your best life now. Is that what Jesus is teaching us in these words? Do it right. Have enough faith. And then God will open up his treasure drawer and fill your bank account or your garage or your portfolio. How sad. How sad when we think of God in these terms. How sad when we try to manipulate God into giving us the so-called desires of our heart. Jesus' words are clear. "Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." So, do Peel and Shuler and all of these televangelists have it right? No. They have it exactly backwards. Prayer does not put us into a position to get God to do something. My friends, God has already done something. It is in receiving what has already been achieved for us that our joy is full. We need to make a distinction between carnal joy and spiritual joy. God's word for today says, your joy will be complete. Carnal joy is when we have joy in matters of the flesh, things that make us feel good, our stuff, our possessions, our emotions, all of these things are a part of carnal joy. Things that pertain to our bodily living and our bodily life. Spiritual joy is different. Spiritual joy is taking pleasure in God. Spiritual joy is taking pleasure in God. Our entire world is confused, just like little Sally in the comic strip. We get things mixed up. We mix up carnal joy and spiritual joy. We don't think about or worry about our relationship with God. God knows you. And he sent his Son, Jesus, into the world to claim you as his own. Sometimes we throw around big fancy words in the church like vicarious atonement, or the substitutionary atonement. These are words that we should know and we should claim as our own. Jesus became like our vicar, a substitute, a stand-in. Jesus came and took our sin into himself and onto himself. Jesus put himself under the harsh and condemning law. He did this for you and for me and for the life of the world. Jesus carried all sin for all time onto himself and into himself to Calvary's cross. Jesus bled and died the death we deserve. Jesus took the hit. Jesus died, really died. Stone cold dead died. His body was placed in a tomb. Satan rejoiced. The world breathed a sigh of relief. But Jesus wasn't done. 3 days later, on that first Easter, Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. See my hands, see my feet. It's really me. I'm not a ghost. I'm alive for you. Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for all sin, for all people, for all time. That is absolutely true. But the good news is, when he has paid for the sin of all people for all time, he has paid for your sin. Your sin that burdens you, your sin that drives you to shame, your sin that is like a chain that tears around you. It's gone. It's gone. Really gone. Once and for all gone. He has washed you in the robe of righteousness in the waters of holy baptism. He has put his name on you. He has claimed you. He continues to give you forgiveness, life, and salvation as you hear his word and eat his meal. My friends, this is the source of spiritual joy. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in the book of life. God has prepared a place for you since the beginning of the world. God is satisfied by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you, on your behalf. Praying in Jesus' name doesn't mean tacking on the name Jesus at the end of a few sentences. That's a joke. Praying in the name of Jesus means praying in faith, believing that everything Christ has done for the world, he has done for me, that my sins are forgiven, that God has called me holy, that God has named me as his child. You are the child of God. Don't you know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ's name are a part of his family, children of the Heavenly Father, washed clean in the washing of water and renewal? My friends, God gives a command and a promise to his children. He says, my children, come to me in any and every situation. Bring your heartache, bring your problems, bring your challenges, bring your joys to me. Pray continually. Ask me anything. And then he gives this promise. He promises to hear our prayer. He promises to give us everything we need to support this body and life. Law and gospel. Command and promise. This is God's gift to you in the gift of prayer. So what do you want? What do you want? What do you want to ask God? You want to ask God for more stuff? Well, you certainly can. But why? Why do you want more stuff? so you can rely on your material possessions and not have to rely on God? Why do you want more stuff? So you can brag and use that as a leverage over someone else? Oh, maybe you want power. Power. Power at work. Power in the world. Power in the congregation. Power so that you can lord yourself over someone that God calls you to serve? My friends, so often we get carnal joy and spiritual joy completely mixed up. When we want and when we come before God in prayer, He wants us to bear our soul. But many times the problem is that we separate our prayer from the Word of God. The Word of God that teaches us what to pray for. Think of the Ten Commandments, where God is teaching us how He would live and move and act and think. The first three commandments are all about the Word of God and spiritual joy. We know who to pray to because there's only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Any other kind of a prayer is sheer idolatry. We pray in the name of Jesus, the name that is holy. All other prayer is futile and worthless. We pray, we praise, and we give thanks. The third commandment teaches us that our prayers cannot be separated from being in God's house, hearing the Word of God, fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Otherwise, if it's just me and Jesus, guess who I'm going to be praying for? Me, me, and only me. But we're part of the body, with Christ as the head. And when we are with and actually know our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're aware of their needs, their hurts, their joys. We don't have time to be selfish in our prayer life because our brothers and sisters in Christ need us to encourage and support and to pray for them. The second table of the law teaches us how we live with our brothers and sisters in Christ with regard to God's gift of life, God's gift of marriage, God's gift of stuff, God's gift of a good reputation. Not only our actions, but even our thoughts. My friends, what do you want? If you're like me, all too often you talk about prayer, but you don't really pray. You know what that is? That's a sign of a lack of faith. Faith begets prayer. As we cling to the Word of God and believe all that God has done for us, we want to speak our hurts, our pains, our sorrows and joys. We want to speak to God, the Father who created us, God, the Son who spilt His blood to redeem us, God, the Holy Spirit who called us to faith and continues to live and love us, in us, dwelling in us, comforting us, and pointing us to the completed sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My friends, if we want to think in terms of does prayer work,
we are thinking completely contrary to the Word of God. Prayer does not gain us any status. Prayer does not give us any forgiveness, life, and salvation. God has already done that for us in Jesus Christ. Prayer is not a means of grace. Prayer is an expression of faith. An expression of faith that God welcomes and invites, commands, and encourages. Prayer is hard work. Hard work because we need to put our own selfish thoughts and desires to the side and lift up our hearts and our minds and our souls to God, thanking Him for spiritual joy and asking Him to teach us to be content with whatever material blessings we have, teaching us to live, truly live in the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. A little bit earlier in this chapter, Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Last week we heard from Ezekiel that he would replace, God would replace our cold, dead, stony heart with a heart made of flesh. That's exactly what he does through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. God teaches us to pray not only for ourselves, but to pray knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing that our joy is complete in Jesus Christ, knowing that God will give us whatever we need, because that's what a loving father does. My friends, does prayer work? God works. Does prayer accomplish great things? God accomplishes great things. It is not our human effort or our human thoughts and words. The work of prayer is in the praying. That's what we do. And sometimes, that's all we can do. We keep on asking. And at times, it will seem like all God does is say no. We keep asking. And it appears that God is ignoring us. We keep praying, and it looks like God has turned His back on us. But He's not denying us. He's not ignoring us. He's not turning His back on us. He's doing all the doing that needs to be done. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean God's not doing it. And God promises that in time, His children, washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ, in time, the Christian's patience and trust will be rewarded, and God will show us that He never, ever denied us of anything that we truly needed. That He never denied the prayers that were prayed in Jesus' name. So what do? We pray. Prayer is an exercise of our faith. Jesus is the author and founder of our faith. And Jesus Himself teaches us how to pray. We listen to Him. We don't consult shallow and materialistic people whose world centers on themselves and their pocketbooks. We consult Him who came to us from the Father and returned to the Father by taking away all of our sins on the cross. We pray in obedience to His command, and we pray trusting in his promises and in his name. For Jesus' sake, all of our prayers are answered. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds and our prayers in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. This time, children of God, set free by the blood of the Lamb, we are bold to confess to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to the whole world our faith in the one true God. This morning we confess the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world.
The whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you tenderly invite us to believe that you are our true Father, and that we are your true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask you as dear children ask their dear Father. Keep us, we pray, steadfast in the faith, that we may ever cling to your Son, Jesus Christ, who has overcome the world for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, we thank you for raising up faithful shepherds among us to feed and serve your holy flock. Fill them with your Spirit, that they would never tire of preaching Christ and him crucified for the salvation of all who hear and believe. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, keep this nation under your care and bless the leaders of our land, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to the other nations of the earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, look with mercy upon all who are sick or suffering in any way. Ensure that they receive the care that they need, and strengthen their faith in the midst of their affliction, that they might hold fast to the sure and certain truth of the resurrection of all flesh, for all those who look upon your Son in faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bring us to the holy altar in repentance and faith, that we might receive a foretaste of the feast to come in the eating and drinking of your Son's very body and true blood. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, we give you thanks for receiving all those who have gone to their heavenly reward before us and now rest from their labors, especially Doretta and Roger. Keep us in that same faith, that together with them we may receive the promised inheritance of your eternal kingdom as fellow heirs with your Son when he returns in glory on the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Again, welcome. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who gives us all that we need, especially forgiveness, life, and salvation in and through Jesus, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
We stand for the offertory, page 159.
Lord our God.
It is right.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. And by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us.
Now this true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and we sing our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, page 164. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Remain standing for our closing hymn, 488.
Perfecter and giver of pure joy. We'll have our Sunday school opening down here in about 7 or 8 minutes. Kids, go get some goodies and come on back. One opportunity for adult Bible study this morning. We'll continue our look at Article 10 of the Formula of Concord and the topic of adiaphora. Adiaphora, that'll be in the fellowship hall. You're all invited for coffee and goodies right now. We're very thankful you made it today. Today's always the most challenging day to get to church, aside from a blizzard outside. And so thanks for taking the extra precautions or going around or just living on the south end of town. I guess that does it too. But a lot of people in town today. And unfortunately, not a lot of them have church on their mind. So between our radio and KFOR radio ministry, hope and pray that some of them will be able to hear the good news of Jesus Christ for them. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. Activities and events for the days and weeks ahead are listed there. This last Wednesday night was our last midweek and confirmation class for the year. We'll pick up again in August.
This coming Wednesday, we have a special celebration. We remember and celebrate the ascension of our Lord. 40 days after Easter, Christ physically, bodily ascended into heaven. So what? It is a huge, huge deal theologically and kind of a forgotten festival in the church. So Wednesday night, 6:30, Ascension Divine Service. Pastor.
Well,